There's some encouraging news about childhood asthma in the U.S. The rising rates of the 1980s and 90s are leveling off, but the number of children with asthma remains high, nearly 5 million. Research has focused mainly on finding an environmental cause for the epidemic. Now scientists are looking at the roles poverty, stress, and mental health may play. From member station WGBH in Boston, Madge Kaplan reports.
Asthma has been confounding the research community for years. That's why word of some fresh approaches to reversing the epidemic is welcomed by many.
I'm just trying to deal with things one day at a time and not to get too overwhelmed.
Wanda Lugo, who's Puerto Rican, is especially happy to hear someone wants to look long and hard at the connection between asthma and stress. As an asthma health educator in the Boston neighborhood of Jamaica Plain, she sees Spanish-speaking families with enough worries to last a lifetime. She says she recently visited a mother of asthmatic children who was literally tearing out her hair. Their circumstances, Lugo says, are not that different from her own.
I have asthma, and my children have asthma. And I'm living in a situation like having a leaky roof. I have a 2-year-old, 12-year-old, and a 13-year-old. And it's like I have a 4-bedroom, but I really have a 2-bedroom, if that, because they sleep in the living room because their rooms are so cold. And when it rains, it's like there's nothing that I can do now. I'm telling the landlord over and over.
Lugo says the more stressed out she is, the worse her asthma, which only adds to the stress. This is often the case. What Harvard Medical School's Rosalind Wright has her eye on are more long-term consequences. She has a strong hunch that when new parents with difficult lives feel helpless and worried, this triggers anxiety in young children and a series of physiological changes that make them the next candidates for the disease.
You feel upset, you're worried, and that can drive some processes in the brain to send out some hormones and neurotransmitters. Those things get overproduced. And then those things can then go on through the body, and they affect things like how your immune system functions. If that's ongoing, you may have changes in your immune system that are longer lasting and may, you know, translate into asthma.
Wright says with asthma, it appears not to be a suppressed immune system, but a dysregulated immune system that's the problem. This causes lungs to be overly sensitive and easily inflamed, starting at a very young age.
Asthma's a pediatric disease. 50% of it's manifested clinically by the time the kids are 3 years old, and about 80% by the time they're 5 years old. So it's very early on that you really want to understand what are the things that we might change to decrease that risk.
Wright is now recruiting 1,000 pregnant women of African American, Haitian, and Hispanic backgrounds for a 5-year government-funded study. She plans to track physiological changes in women and children in relationship to their life circumstances and indoor and outdoor environmental quality. Genetic susceptibility will also be studied. This is the first time anyone's tried to explore potential causes of asthma by examining so many factors simultaneously. Wright's results could show that the mental wear and tear of dealing with poor housing, lack of money, and often violent neighborhoods not only makes an existing asthma diagnosis worse, but helps the disease take hold in the first place. Still, getting to the bottom of today's epidemic and where emotional stress fits in has other researchers asking different questions.
The question might be, really, what happens when we treat anxiety in children?
Alex Ortega is an epidemiologist at the Yale School of Public Health.
For example, breathlessness is a very common symptom in both asthma and anxiety, particularly panic attacks in children. And maybe a more effective strategy for a lot of these children could be to intervene at the psychosocial level.
Adding psychological issues to the question of what's driving America's childhood asthma epidemic complicates matters, but at the moment, most in the research community welcome the inquiry. Genetics may prove to be a bigger issue than now known, along with other factors, but the growing sentiment seems to be that asthma is a syndrome caused by and fueled by many things. Professor John Levy, a member of Rosalind Wright's research team, takes a stab at how this might work.
It may be that individuals who are highly stressed, they're stressed because they have poor housing. That poor housing has high levels of cockroach allergen and mold. The housing is located next to a busy street and they have high diesel exposures. Not everyone who has all of those risk factors will develop asthma, but those who have a family history and genetic susceptibility will. So maybe having two of those four or three of those four is not enough, but everything in concert all come together to contribute to the development of asthma.
We have to be careful not to blame the people who have asthma and live in these environments.
Jean Zotter of the Boston Urban Asthma Coalition welcomes all the new research, so long as it enhances efforts to create healthier and more affordable housing in low-income communities. She hopes research findings aren't misused.
If it was couched in the fact that it's psychological, it's in your head, which is how asthma was once perceived in the 40s, then that would be something that I think the community would not accept.
The community will actually have some say in the matter. Harvard's Rosalyn Wright has designed her asthma study to include regular input from inner-city residents about how they'd define stress in their lives. Grassroots health groups will also get a chance to experiment with new prevention strategies based on preliminary findings. For NPR News, I'm Madge Kaplan in Boston.